So we're looking at 1 John, and I know Pastor Scott's been already taking you through a series, and I hope I could do just as good as he's been doing. I've been watching some online since we've been in Children's Church, and then we missed last Sunday. I watched last Sunday. Amazing word last Sunday. So I'm just hoping that I can continue this series for him as well. Keep your pastor in prayer as he's taking some time off and being with family down in California, which I'm pretty sure it's hot down there. It's been hot up here, too. So one thing, I'm going to be doing my verses out of the New Living Translation. Just a little story on that. I've been meeting with a group of pastors for a little bit, and we've been talking about translations. And then I sent out a little survey to my family and a couple of people that I trust and know, just seeing what people use and what they read. And just in the context of understanding contemporary English and all the things, I landed on this translation for a while and just pulling things from it. One of my professors, Professor Adam, when I was doing my theology degree, the one thing that stuck out, what he said to me was, we're always reading a translation of a translation of a translation. So everything's been translated. So you really need to go back to the Greek and the Hebrew of things if you really are the understanding and the context sometimes of Scripture. So I'm just telling everybody needs to take Greek and Hebrew. So fit that into your schedule when you can and you get that done. But so far in 1 John, we have understood about fellowship, primarily fellowship with God, right? He's been speaking toward what it means to have relationship with God and fellowship with God and what true evidence of living in fellowship and in His light. Right? You guys have been speaking of the light with God. In today's verses, though, John is concerned with the knowledge of God and knowing God. And that's important, especially in the context of carrying Scripture with you when you go to speak to somebody outside the church or in the workplace or where you're at, is having that knowledge of God. But deeper knowledge is knowing who God is in your life, right? In my study, in the context of the light, a quote came across in my studies. And while I was studying, I really enjoyed this quote, and I started to share it. You know how you do. You go on Twitter, Facebook, all your fancy stuff, and you start sharing this and see how people would respond to this. But this is from C.S. Lewis. I don't know if you ever read any of his stuff or seen some of his stuff, but it says, here it goes, "Don't shine so others can see you. Shine so that through you, others can see Him." I'm like, C.S. hit it. Oh, that's hardcore, man. You know, sometimes we want to shine ourselves. Like, this is where I am because of this and this. But literally, we should walk out of these doors. Actually, we should live it in here. When we're shining our brightest, it should be Him that they're seeing. Amen. So I love that quote while I was studying this. And it just came up in my studies, and I'm like, it's really fit. So I hope you enjoy that quote. And if you want to share it, it wasn't me that said it. I wish I could. I was really going to try to take claim, but then I know somebody would Google it. They'll be like, Kyle lied from the poll. But you know how that goes. So C.S. Lewis, I give him credit. Great, great thing. Church, are you ready to hear what the Word of God has to say to you today? Are you guys ready? Seriously, are you ready? I think worship was good, right? We had a great time in worship, but let's see what the Spirit of God has to say to us. 1 John 2, we're going to look at 3 to 11, but I'm going to start in verse 3. I don't know, guys. I'm on my second Dutch. People brought me Dutch today, and we'll see what happens here. "And we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. If someone claims, 'I know God,' but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth." Whoa, John, slow down a little bit. John gets really strong here. He gets strong in his words, and if we'll look at some of the Greek here in a moment. But so John is sharing about knowing who God is in your life, which bring a natural outcome from walking in the light and having fellowship of God. If you're living in the light and you're having fellowship with God daily, You're in His Word, you're praying, you're seeking Him out in the light. This fellowship should bring knowledge into your relationship with Him and knowing who He is and how you walk with Him. So before we go any further, we need to look at the word know. I think it's going to come up here. The Greek use here and the translation. Anyone want to give a chance at how to pronounce it? Come on, anybody? Gnosko. It took me 4 hours to figure that out. No, I'm just kidding. I had to keep hitting the button that said gnosko, gnosko. So it's the part of the speech, it's a verb in the context that this is used in the Greek, and it causes an action. So if you don't know why the emphasis is on there, if you understood Greek, Greek has an emphasis whenever you see like a mark there, you see the mark above the word, when there's an emphasis, it's emphasizing something, and this word can actually, if you add things to it, will change the way the word means. That's why there's so many translations. Everybody's seeing this word differently in the English, French, whatever you're translating this into. So it's an action, it's a verb. And it's used for the word nart, to learn to know, to come to know, get knowledge of, to perceive, feel, to become known, to understand. See all the meanings here? So the understanding, have a knowledge of, to become acquainted with. There's even further where it talks about the intimacy, being intimate with God. The emphasis here to know. For us who claim, so what he's saying, John is saying, for us who claim to follow Jesus, knowledge of God cannot be separated from the experience of righteousness. Amen. Can't separate it. For us, there is no greater claim than one that makes it knowing God and obeying Him. If you claim to know Him, you will obey Him. That's what John is saying here. To know God, to have knowledge of God, is to obey Him in fellowship and relationship. See, John is saying to test the knowledge of God is in our conduct and how we live our life. That's literally what he's saying. That's literally taking the context and the emphasis of that know word is how we live our life is the test if we're living and obeying with God. I mean, study it yourself. Break it down. Look at some commentary on it. Look at what other theologians have said on this piece. It's so factual that how we live our life is how we show our love and obedience to Christ. It's literally how we do that. Look at Titus 1:16. Such people claim they know God, but they deny Him by the way they live. They are detestable and disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. Come on, people, we're talking about Jesus here. He loves us. There's grace, there's mercy, but there's a difference. There is a way to live. There is something that comes in line. When you're transformed, you're lining up to the righteousness and holiness of God. The sanctification process I spoke to earlier is part of this process. So there is something that there's an emphasis. When we love God, it comes out of our obedience. That's how we show love. John is talking in verse 4 about those who claim that they know God, but at the same time breaking His commandments. Well, I thought we didn't need to live in the Old Testament. Whoa, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said He came to fulfill the law. And what that means is He fulfilled the law because now He knows our heart. He knows the things. That's why He goes into the process. Even if you think of adultery, even if you look at that woman or that man and undress, even if you just process that, you need to stop it there. Paul says, capture those thoughts. Take ownership of those thoughts and repent from them before they become an action. And here we go right back to the verb word. And where it's an action thing of knowing and living for God. Since John considers knowledge of God practical and by experience, it can be for us. Church, to claim to know God and at the same time disobey him is to lie and be without the truth in your life. Hey, I'm just reading scripture to you. I'm just reading what the Word of God is saying, and the Spirit should be emphasizing in your life if you're living in it or outside of that. Because see, when Jesus went to sit at the right hand of the Father, he left the Holy Spirit to indwell in us, to comfort us, to bring us to repentance, to convict us, to help us live in that grace and joy. The fruits of the Spirit expel from us knowing and having relationship with God. Amen. Verse 5 says this: but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. Let me read that again. I don't think you guys caught that. Verse 5. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. So people have asked me before, well, how do I show my love back? Obey. That's the greatest love you can show back to Christ. We never can show the love that we really want to show him. I don't even know the words to express what Jesus has done in my life. And it keeps going. It says, that is how we know we are living in him. So if we know we're living with God, come on, church. If we're living with God, our love expressing to him is through our obedience. Man, to me, that just sets me on fire. I don't know. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Well, do I have to be exactly like Jesus? Well, good luck. Try. You can try. You can try to make that approach. But two things here in verse 5. First, shows how completely we love him. Meaning in God's love, we are made complete in him. In God, his love for us should concentrate into us. It should motivate us to know that we're complete in him. And then we expel that out. That's where he's talking about the light that comes out of our life. When we see the light of God in our lives, we express that to others, they begin to see that light, and it gets them excited about, well, what's different about you? What's going on in your life? True knowledge of God does not end with a hypothetical idea, but with obedience and with the presence of God's love in the believer. That's when you're made complete. The sanctification process, that can take time, carries with it the idea of continuous growth and development. So we're always continuing to grow and develop in who God is in your life. I got saved in January 2009, is when I gave my life to Jesus and surrendered. And from that point to now, I am a whole different person. And I'm still changing. I'm still growing. I'm still developing. I'm praying daily the Holy Spirit to change me. I still at times have shame and guilt from my past. I still have to deal with who God is in my life. It gets thrown at me daily. I don't know about you guys, but I know your testimony may be similar, that there's things that come into your life, like all of a sudden you lose your job. There's layoffs. COVID hits. Oh my gosh. Cancer hits the family. Pray for the Beams right now. Pray for Grant right now that just had a heart attack. And when he fell, he's got some things going on. Just pray. Imagine what they're going through. Imagine what we can be a light to that family and to Grant and where he's at. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's working in his life. It's a continuous growth and development as we obey God. As we process that transformation in our life, as we obey what the Word of God is saying, when the Holy Spirit says, hey, I don't want you doing that anymore. Okay. What does that look like to change that pattern? What does it look like to change that behavior? Maybe you got to change the friends you're hanging out with. Maybe you can't go to a bar anymore. Just things have to change and transform in your life so that you can line up to the light that he's putting in your life. And I'm just sharing scripture here, folks. You're made complete in the light of God. Basically, church, as obedience is practiced, so God's love matures in us. Trust me, church, I am more in love with people than I was back then. I love people today that I probably would have never loved in my past. I'm being truthful here. my upbringing, with the things that are happening today, I would never love those people. Ever. It also says in verse 5, it says that is how we know we are living in him. In the New Testament, ginosko, that we just saw, that context, that Greek word, frequently indicates a relation between the person knowing who he is in us and the object known, who is God. In this respect, what is known is God, and the value or importance to the one who knows, which is us, establishes our relationship. So we do not have this relationship without God in our lives. Amen. And he's the one we magnify. He's the King of Kings. He is the El Shaddai. There's so many words for him. There's Old Testament words for our God. The most intimate name we have is his son Jesus, who came divine and human in nature. So he relates. That's why it becomes a heart thing. That's why he fulfilled the law. That's why he fulfilled the Ten Commandments. That's why he fulfilled Leviticus. Have you ever read through Leviticus? Oh, man. God is good. He establishes a relationship with us individually. One-on-one. So as we live life in the light, it produces love. Do you know the greatest commandment? Oh, we'll get there. Hold on. So if you say, I love Jesus, the action would be to obey him, which brings us in relationship with him, which is how we know we are living in him. I made that up myself. I was pretty proud of myself. But think about it. If you say you love Jesus and you follow Jesus, that means you're living in him. You're obeying his word, right? You're in relationship with him. So everything you do from this point on should glorify him. And the fruit of the Spirit should be active in your life. And when God does do something supernaturally, we know it's supernatural. Amen? Amen? Amen. Come on, you're a Pentecostal church here. Supernatural. This relationship will help us, with the Holy Spirit's help, to live as Jesus did and the love he showed to others in truth. So, so good. Now we're going to go into verse 7. He says, dear friends. I mean, he's calling us friends. That's good so far. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. From the beginning, Adam and Eve, this commandment was in place. This old commandment, to love one another, is the same message you heard before. Yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, amen, and the true light is already shining. If anyone claims, I'm living in the light, but hates his fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Yeah. All right, what? Anyone, verse 10 I'm at, if you're looking where we're at, verse 10, anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such as a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. What did Jesus bring us into? He brought us into a relationship, the kingdom that we're part of, the citizenship that we're part of. We're not of this world. Everything about the kingdom is relationship. It's all about looking at our brother and sister, the one on the right and the one on the left of you, the one in front of you and the one on back of you. Jesus cares about. He died for President Biden. And what Scripture asks us to do for President Biden is to pray for the guy. Pray for him. I don't care what political affiliation you're with, you pray for our leaders. You pray for our city. You pray for the ones that are living an unhealthy lifestyle. You pray for the ones Well, I won't go any further. You just keep praying and loving and let God send His Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit transform as they learn how to capture their thoughts, renew their mind, look at Scripture. Because I didn't begin reading Scripture right away when I got saved. I had to be discipled in it. I had to learn and understand what it means to read and get in here and understand, whoa, what is Lamentations in my life? That was rare. Let's read something from them. Look at all their evil deeds, Lord. Punish them as you have punished me for all my sins. My groans are many and I am sick at heart. Now, you read that to a new believer. Come on, church. Let's start somewhere where it talks about God and being born again. I don't know where that came from. The point of view, though, reflects Jesus' words as recorded in John 13:34. It says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other." The new command that John speaks of here in verse 7 sums up what it means to walk in the light and to walk as Jesus did. This stands at the heart of the gospel. The most extreme thing in our life for the gospel was Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And why did He do it? Because He loves us. Why would I do something for another person in my life? It's because I love them. If you're not living in the knowledge and in knowing God in right relationship with Him, living in the light, living in the knowledge, and living in the obedience, how are you going to love your brother? Because that love that comes from God that flows through us is something that's supernatural and we can't do on our own. To love somebody in their sin and walk with them in their sin until God gets a hold of them, that's a love that only comes from Jesus. That's a Holy Spirit thing. What John is saying is that there was never a message that did not have this command at his heart. When God took the children out of Egypt, His love for them is what drove Him. When God took Jonah out of that well, it was the love for Jonah that took him out. Think about it. He used to destroy things and then rebuild and restore out of His love. The message of love was always in the Scriptures, if you look at it. In verse 9, John says, "Yet it is also new," meaning they realized in their own fulfillment as Jesus lived in a life of divine love, Jesus showed this to His disciples, the men He walked with. And then the closer circle, which John was part of, you know, John's very arrogant that he was the one that Jesus loved. I mean, I say the same thing, you know, Jesus loves me. Well, He loves you too, yeah. He does. But that was the thing. The divine love came. And it was divine. And it was human in nature as well. So as Jesus walked with His disciples, there's times where He probably looked at them and said, man, why are you guys not getting this yet? I mean, think about it. I shared this up at the Father and Son fishing trip. When Jesus walked out on the water, and it wasn't Peter, or it wasn't Jesus that asked Peter to come out. It was Peter asking Jesus, "Can I come out there with you? Can I get involved in what you're doing? Can I be part of that?" And Jesus said the word, "Come." He also said to Peter, "If you want to follow me, you got to drop your nets. You got to drop your life." When he looked at Matthew, he said, "Matthew, you got to give up all your money if you want to follow me. Give it all up. You're living rich with the Romans." See, it's something that we have to make a choice about. It's something that we have free will about that God gave us to make a decision. Do you really want to follow God? Because there are going to be people that choose not to follow Him. If you truly want to live in Him and live in the light, John is saying to love him is to obey him. To have that transformation, to have that living sacrifice life that Paul speaks of in Romans. In verse 9, John says, yet it's also new, meaning they realized in their own fulfillment of Jesus, lived in his life of divine love, Jesus showed this through his disciples. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. I'll say that again. John 15:12, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. Okay, so Jesus, you brought me out of a lot. I mean, you've given me mercy. So that person that is probably going through the same stuff I went through, I need to love them just as you loved me. Just like you gave me grace, just like you gave me mercy, just like you gave me forgiveness. Because I'll hear it sometimes grumbled, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. Whoa, I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Anywhere in God's word. Everyone deserves forgiveness through God. And if we're going to show that commandment to others, we need to live it through our actions. Remember that verb. Remember, look at your spouse. How have you shown them love lately? Have you just said the word love? Or are you showing it through action? That's another sermon. After Jesus' death and resurrection, what had been true in Jesus' own life now became part of the reality of their lives. So what was true in Jesus' life passed on to his disciples, and they began to live that way. Just as it was when I came to know Christ and I got discipled, I began to live that way. Just as you came to church and got discipled, you begin to live that way. See the pattern? And we continue that pattern today. They too began to know what it was to love. John expresses the realized fulfillment by simply saying that the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. You can't extinguish that light, by the way. That light is going to burn and burn until that trumpet sounds and our Savior says, come on home. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. 1 Thessalonians 5:4 through 8 says this. It's a little longer, a couple verses. But you aren't in the dark about these things. Dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Boy, that's pretty clear. Don't be asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Be mindful of the Scripture. Be mindful of the knowledge of God. Be mindful of what's in your heart. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Go with confidence, it says. How does John understand hate in verse 9? His answer lies primarily in what one does. Hate is the absence of the deeds of love. To walk in the light is to love one another, and God's love will express itself in our actions. It all comes down to that action. In my understanding here, hate is the absence of love in action, which can be described as the failure to deny oneself, the unwillingness to lay down your life for another. John 15:13. You consider your own circumstances first. 1 Corinthians 13:5. You disregard the robbed and the afflicted. Luke 10:30-37. You despise the little ones. Don't do that. Matthew 18:10, withhold food and water from the hungry and the thirsty. Matthew 25:42, and makes no effort to welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, or help the sick. Matthew 25:43, whenever a person has need and one does not help him, then one has in fact hated. That's a harsh word, hate. Now, I'll say I hate cancer. I hate the devil and what he's been doing to some people lately. I hate addiction. I hate things. But what I hear John saying is, when you walk in the light, it's got to be an action thing. It's got to be active in living your life. And John in verse 10 talks to the one who does not live in the light. God's love will not be evident. So the one who loves and abides in the light will never cause others to stumble. If you live in the light, your whole approach to somebody is not to continue to lead them into sin or bring them into sin with you. It's to walk with them in the light and pointing towards the light. In verse 11, John gives us a picture of living in darkness. Though the person has eyes, he's being blinded. They can see nothing and not know where they're going. The darkness gets so bad in somebody's life, they can't even know or understand they're living in sin anymore. It becomes right. Our culture today has put such a blindness on people that they believe they're doing the right thing. We literally have people leading from the pulpit, sharing that living in sin is the right thing. These are the things that John spoke against. He gets you get into the place of darkness and you start to live in darkness, you become blinded and you don't know where you're going. In this life is a search. We search in culture, we search for truth. But for the person in the darkness has no direction. See, we have the light, we have relationship. And he's guiding us through this culture train. He's guiding us through the COVID. He's guiding us through whatever's going on. He's guiding you through cancer. He's guiding you through, see my point here? We have the light. It's leading us. And trust me, when we fall into a dark place, that light is still shining. And we can turn towards it and say, Father God, help me. Turn towards the light. This person that is in this search is without hope in their search. But see, we all have eternal hope. We actually know a living hope that leads us into eternity. I'm almost done here. To live life today without love and outside of the light is to deny the presence of God and the reality of fellowship in the community of faith. I had a young man ask me, what is the purpose of going to church? The basic answer I gave him was, you can come to a place that people will care and encourage you and value you and live with you through whatever you're going through. Amen. That's a place where I want to go. That's a place where I want to feel at home. So church, do you claim to know God? If so, are you expressing it in action through love? So if you're claiming to follow God, if you're claiming, it should be seen in your actions and through the fruit of the Spirit, amen? To know God is to love God. I made this up too, so write it down. To know God is to love God. To know God is to love one another. Amen? God is good in that. Our relationship with Him is so important. I truly believe you can sum this up in this. If you're not living vertically, you can't do anything horizontally. I may have heard that somewhere, I just don't remember. But living this, getting this done first, literally putting Jesus over my wife first, really helps our relationship. Why didn't you take the garbage out? I don't know. I don't feel like it. Getting a fight over who put the toothpaste on or didn't lift it off, you know, those things. Without Jesus, I'm sorry. But if we're in relationship with Him and we're showing the light to others, people are going to be welcomed. They're going to feel that love and that grace and that mercy that I got to feel when people surrounded me and say, hey, you know what? There's a God that loves you and He can pull you out of this darkness. Amen. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, but that's true. If you're sitting here today, He wants to pull you out of what's going on and walk with you. And then what He did is He put these people in here so they can walk with you. And probably say, dude, I've done that before. I've been there. I know how. All right, that's enough. Let me pray for us. God, I love you and thank you for sending your son to the cross so that we all could be sitting here today in freedom, understanding what your light is in us. Lord, I ask as we move from this place, as we get up and we start to spread into our lives and the week that we have coming up, will you let us walk in the light so that the light shines bright and people are like, what is that light in you? And then in that moment, give us the confidence to share who you are. Give us the confidence and the encouragement to be able to show that person that we value them and that you are worthy of them. Lord, we need your supernatural Holy Spirit to help show that love in that time, but also to be confident in what you've done in our lives and how that would touch somebody else. And Lord, as you lead us to those people, as your Holy Spirit opens those doors for us to speak into somebody's life, Holy Spirit, give us the words. Give us that confidence that we can share it even when we feel fearful in that moment of what somebody might think of us or what they think that we believe. Just help us to be confident in your word, Lord. And as we lead and obey you, love on us, give us grace and mercy as we walk out in what relationship looks like with you in our individual lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.